message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I want to start by appreciating God sincerely for His love, for His kindness, and for His faithfulness. And I pray that the prayer you have been praying for yourself and the ones we have prayed for you all throughout this week, it will find quick expression in your life in the name of Jesus. I say it will have quick expression in your life in the name of Jesus. Without delay, your miracle shall be seen in the name of Jesus. Let me hear a louder amen. Let me hear an international amen. I'll try to be as brief as possible in the word, though the outline is quite long. I'll try as much as possible to be as brief as possible this morning. To God alone be all the glory. Essential laws for family quick works. Essential laws for family quick works is our family intervention service. And this morning, our major focus is on the family. And then we'll go further to pray extensively for fruitfulness in this fruitfulness banquet. God has destined you and your family for quick works. He has destined that things should go well for you. God's design is that everything about your family should be about good things. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. The Bible says, "Behold, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders." So God designed you and your children. Somebody say, me and my children. Both you and your children, God designed you for quick works. His intention, His plan is that you should enjoy quick works. His intention is that it will be well with you. And today, anybody that says it will not be well with you, it will never be well with them. Amen. I say anybody that says it will not be well with you, it will never be well with them. Amen. And knowing this, you must realize that life is about laws. For a family to enjoy quick works, for it to be well with a family, there are laws to follow. In science, it says, every object assumes a state of rest until a force is applied to it. Yes or no? Every object assumes a state of rest. If I put this microphone on this platform here and I leave it there and there's no force that pick it, it can be there for ages. So nothing can just work in a family without any form of force or laws that make it happen. Nothing works on its own. And laws are the steps you must take for you to achieve what God wants you to achieve. I've never seen anybody whose dream is that you shouldn't have a good family. Everybody wants a good family. But it's not cheap and it's not free. And this morning, within the limited time we have, we'll be looking at some of these essential laws for your family to enjoy the best that God has for that family. Now, you must also realize, as an issue of foundation, that a successful family is not accidental. It's not an accident for someone to just have a good marriage or for the children to turn out well. It's not accidental. Now, listen to this. A successful family is not an inheritance. You don't inherit it that much because my father's family, my mother, my father were old, the marriage was okay, so I inherit that. No, you don't inherit good marriage. There are laws you must also apply in your own marriage, in your own home, for it to work with you. Hello. You don't inherit it. You can't say, all my forefathers, their marriages were good, so I inherit it. No, you can't inherit it. You can only inherit it if you walk in the laws and in the steps. So this morning, I'll be showing you some laws that relates to the father, the mother, and the children. And then we trust God that God will bless you. Is somebody ready? If you are ready, come on, shout a big hallelujah. Essential law for family, you can call it quick works, you can call it success. Essential laws for the success of your family, number one, is prayerfulness or closeness to God. Prayerfulness / closeness to God. All our fathers that had good families were close to God. In 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 3 says, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have heard it. It is until a family is ready to draw close to God before God can also draw near to him. I think the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's James chapter 4, I think verse 8 or so. Draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you decide to draw near to me, I will also decide to draw near to you. So on the day your family decides to draw near to God, you have signed up for success. You have signed up for good works. And amongst other things, one of the major ways to draw near to God is prayer in the family. Someone say prayer in the family. Every family that wants to enjoy the best of God must be prayerful. It is either you are prayerful or you are playful. It is either your family is prayerful or they are playful. And so every family must have an altar of prayer. You must have a time you pray together, either in the morning or at night, or in the morning or at night. There must be a time you come together as a family to speak to God, to worship God, to pray together, to worship God together. Quickly this morning, what are the benefits of a family altar? What do you stand to gain when your family has a family altar? If you are young here, you are not yet married, and there's nothing like that in your family, try to start it. And if they resist it, when you get married, that is one of the first things you start as a married man, as a married woman. Number one, benefit of the family altar is divine presence. Any house where they pray together, the presence of God is there. So devil can't just walk in there anyhow. The presence of God is there. Number two, I'll be very fast because time has really moved very fast. Benefit of the family altar is, number two, is rest. Any family where there is closeness to God and prayer, there is rest. May God give your family rest. I say, may God give your family rest. God will give your family rest of mind. Your amen is not loud enough. Number three, benefit of the family altar is unity and harmony. Unity and harmony. Any family where there is a family altar, there is unity, there is harmony. They are united. The husband and the wife are united. The issues they are contending with, they bring it to God in the place of prayer. If you are a man here and you don't, your wife calls you to come and pray and you don't respond, you are not encouraging unity in the family. If you are a wife here and you don't pursue your husband to ensure that you are praying together, you are not a wise woman. You are not operating wisely. A family where there is regular prayer together, regular studying of the word together, they are always united. There is harmony. Amos chapter 3 verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, unity is essential in the family and it comes on the altar of prayer and the altar of closeness to God. Number four, benefit of the family altar is that it meets your needs. That is, it makes blessings to flow. Family altar makes blessings to flow. When you have a family altar, blessings flow easily into your family. In the place of the family altar, when you pray, when you worship God, it allows the blessings that God has in store for those that do such to flow into your life. And it will flow in your life this time. I say it will flow in your life this time. I say it will flow in your life this time. Those at the back, I can't feel your response. Please ensure that you are here and ensure that your response is intense. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It meets your needs. Number four, number five, benefit of the family altar is that it keeps Satan away. Many people don't know how to keep this devil away. If you want to keep the devil away in your family, keep the fire burning in the family. Keep the fire of prayer burning. Keep the fire of praise worship burning. Keep the fire of the study of the word burning in your family. Ensure that there is no day you don't come together in the place of prayer. Don't get carried away by the pleasures. You know, what normally happens is that when people become more comfortable, there's a tendency to slow down on some of these things. And can I tell you this? The more comfortable you are, the more you should be closer to God because you have become more vulnerable. I want you to notice that trees that have more oranges have more people throwing stones at it. If a tree has just like 10 oranges, just maybe 2-3 boys, we just go through, they will pluck everything. But when a tree has so many oranges or mangoes, then you will see all sorts of sticks, long stick, short stick, big stone, like the one they used to build road. We throw it at the tree to shake it. So the bigger you are, the bigger and the more intense should be the time of your family with God. Devil will not get your family. I said, devil will not get your family. I can't hear your loud amen. I can't hear your loud amen. Devil will not get your family. I didn't hear a louder amen from you. So you must be a prayerful person. You must be close to God. Evil will not visit your family. If you don't want devil to visit or to stay in a family and build duplex there. There are some houses whereby devil has built a duplex in their compound. Because they don't care about God. Last week, Saturday. Not this Saturday, the last week, Saturday. After the cell fellowship, I was rushing out to come to church for the pastor's prayer and to inspect some of the work that was going on in the church and all. And one of my daughters here brought her son to visit us. And the son ran out to follow me out. So I took him back inside and said, I'm going to church. Little boy, you can't follow me. Go and stay with mommy and the other children. And I entered the car and ignited the engine. I was about to reverse. Something just told me to wait. I just waited and I paused. Not knowing the boy, he still ran outside again. I went to stand right at the back of the car. Like saying, Pastor or Daddy, you cannot go anywhere. I'm going with you. And a small boy, very small boy like this, just stood at the back of the car. And only God knows what brought my wife out. She just came out to just wave me or something. And she just saw the boy and shout. I heard the shout, like 7 houses away, they can hear the shout. Because of the shout, the boy screamed and started crying. Just shouted, the boy said, I would have reversed with. And some of you know the way I drive sometimes when I'm. When people are driving me, I don't like them to overspeed. But when I'm driving, oh my God. My wife knows, it will just be cautioning me, Joe, please. Small. I was about to put the car in reverse. I'm going to church. I can't be late. Something just say pause. Just pause small. Relax. I just pause. The car was already on reverse. I just pause small. Like something, somebody wanted to tell me something, not knowing a little boy was at the back. Or just standing at the back of the car. Right at the back. Like standing like you don't try to reverse. And he wasn't even standing where a mirror can see him. So when your family is prayerful, God always preserves you. God always saves you. And today, I see God doing something awesome in your family. And the prayer, the 12 days of empowerment starting from tomorrow, provides a good channel. It provides an amazing channel for you to pray for your family. So it's so amazing, especially in this part of the country. Our attitude to the things of God lacks fire, lacks passion. Our focus is so mundane on things that shouldn't. We are pursuing what we should do. Things that should be pursuing us, we are now the one pursuing them. Instead of us to run to. I can't imagine how you will be in this city and you'll be away for even one day out of the 12 days. Whereby your mates and your friends will be praying, that you will be playing. Somebody say, God forbid. So, these 12 days is a period of engagement. You engage yourself. Jesus, I must see you in these 12 days. I must see your face. You must show me something. You must tell me something. You must do something in this family. And I tell you sincerely, my God and your God will do it. I say, my God and your God will do it. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Number two. Essential law for a family that will become successful, that will enjoy quick works, is diligence. Everyone in the family must be hardworking. John chapter 9 verse 4. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day, for night cometh when no man can walk. Everybody in the family must be hardworking. Everybody in the family must be doing something to add to the family, to make the family stable, to make the family enlarged. Proverbs 22 verse 29 said that with man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not ordinary men. Proverbs 22 verse 29. So if you really want your family to do well, there must be the sequel of hard work. There must be the sequel of diligence. There's a scripture that came to me some time ago, and I always meditate on that scripture regularly. It's in Lamentation chapter 3 verse 27. Lamentation. This scripture will help you and make you permanently hardworking. Now look at this. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man that the issues he's supposed to bear in his youth, he should bear it in his youth. The work he's supposed to do when he's young, let him do it when he's young. The labor he or she is supposed to do when he or she is young, is the time to do it. Don't wait until you are 90 or 100 years before you begin to do that. Somebody said this is the time. 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 It is good. It's not mandatory, but it is good that a man labor when he's in his youth. May the Lord give us understanding. Number three, essential law for family success and quick works is the law of liberality or welfare. Being liberal with the family. Giving to God. Giving to people. Being a blessing to the family. That is one law that will always be permanently in place. According to Genesis chapter 8 verse 32. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That is, life is about liberality. If you want your family to enjoy success and you want it to be a successful family, you must take the welfare of your family importantly. You must take it serious. You must take the welfare of your children, the welfare of your husband must be paramount in your heart. The welfare of your wife must be paramount in your heart. And I pray that God will give us more understanding on this in Jesus' name. I say God will give us more understanding on this in Jesus' name. You know, giving does not reduce you. It enriches you. Giving does not reduce you, but it will enrich you. Giving does not reduce you. It enriches you. When you are a blessing to your family, it always makes you blessed. Number four, essential law for family quick works is responsibility. Everybody in the family must be responsible. And that's under this, I'll be showing you some responsibilities of men and women. That is, I'll be showing you what men want from their wife. Is somebody ready for this morning? What does a man really want from his wife? What does a man really need from his wife? Number one thing that a man wants from his wife is trustworthiness. A man wants his wife to be trustworthy. He wants her to be. A man wants his wife to be trustworthy, but it's unfortunate that most men are not trustworthy. If a man has an extramarital affair, they will say, it happens. If a woman mistakenly has an extramarital affair, the whole family will almost crash. But that's what a man wants from his wife. He wants trustworthy. Number two thing that a man wants from his wife is that a man wants his wife to fear God. No man wants to marry a woman who does not fear God. Number three thing that a man wants from his wife is admiration. Admiration and respect. Admiration and respect. Every man wants his wife to admire him and respect him. Every man wants his wife to admire him. You know one thing that ladies, you must realize. If you don't admire your husband, somebody else will admire your husband. If you don't give your husband the necessary admiration, when he gets to work, and those he works with tells him, and he left the house with you, you just left him. You must admire him. You must not suppress his ego and make him look like a nobody because he doesn't have money now. He might not have money now, and he can have plenty of it in the future. When you did not admire him when he didn't have money, when he has money, he might not give much to you out of it. So keep admiring him. Keep respecting him. When you want to talk to your boss at work, they call you. You answer respectfully. When your husband is talking, you point your two fingers like this to his eyes. In your life. If not for the situation or something, I will never marry somebody like you. That man will not like to stay long in such a marriage. If he has an escape route, he will escape. So respect him and admire him. I'm rushing because time is not on my side. But I pray that God will give you more understanding in Jesus' name. What men want from their wife, I'm now on number four, kindness. Kindness. A man wants to marry a kind woman. A kind to him, kind to the children, kind to his family. A person who has a kind heart, who has a good heart. And of course, a man wants a woman that supports his dream. Supports his dream. Anything your husband is doing, if you want that family to have peace, support him. If your husband likes football, better go and know the name of the teams so that you can communicate. That's how some people, some people are able to snatch their husband. Because they will see what the husband likes, and you refuse to support him in that area, his attention will drift to that area. So anything your husband is doing, support him. Anything good, I mean. If your husband is in Banja Wiwi, I'm not saying you support him. If your husband is going out late at night, I didn't say you should follow him to the club where they are smoking, all those. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking of things that are righteous, things that you can share testimony about. At least your husband cannot go to a nightclub in a hotel now. Come and share. I want to thank God I went with my husband yesterday to a nightclub. And then we were there till 4 a.m. They were even breaking bottle there, but they did not break my own head, sha. You can't share that kind of testimony. I want to believe one of the reasons why God created women is for support. It's for support. Physical support, spiritual support, and many other support. Once the husband doesn't feel the support of his wife, the vacuum is there almost immediately. And when you see men that are always boning and frowning, most of the time their wife is not supporting them. So they are emotionally depressed. They are emotionally saturated. They are emotionally extinguished. There's no support in the bedroom, and there's no support outside. So the man is not happy. Immediately. Okay, you have been there, Abby. Oh, you are learning. Which one? Every man wants a supportive wife. Number six thing that a man wants from his wife is discretion. Proverbs 11 verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, a beautiful woman without discretion. As a gold ring in the nose of a pig, so is a beautiful woman that doesn't have discretion. What is discretion? Discretion is ability to take right and correct decisions. To know what to say at the right time.
Don't just talk shakala like that. Don't just behave anyhow. Use your discretion. A man loves a woman that knows how to use her discretion. A man comes back from home. You can see all over him that he's has been battered at work today. Looking very tired and weak. That's when you now say, hey, I even want to tell you about something that happened between my friend. And he will be angry. Because you have to be able to study him and watch him. Use your discretion. This is very, very important. This has affected many marriages where the woman refused to use her. We bring up issues at wrong time. You must be able to know the right time for everything. Because men are usually under a lot of pressure. And that's why God originated sex. So that's a lot of times in the confines of marriage brings down the pressure on the man. So most men, especially at the middle of their age and all that, are under, because of the stress of work and how to be able to do well, are always under intense pressure. So use your discretion so that you don't also become a pressure for him. He has pressure outside and he has pressure inside. That's pressure square. Hallelujah. 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 So use your discretion. I talked on six things right here. Number one is what? Trustworthiness. Number two, fear of God. Number three, admission and respect. Number four, number five, support. And number six, discretion. What does a woman need? A woman needs just one thing. It's called love. But that love has many things attached to it. Hello? A woman needs one thing to make that family, to make it okay. She needs to be loved. But that love has branches. Branch one is provision. A woman needs to be provided for. No matter how rich your wife is, try to be a blessing to her. Number two, under what the woman needs is care. You have to know how to care. Some men don't know how to care for women at all. They don't know how to care for a woman at all. If you are dating a guy, as a young guy, and doesn't know how to care for you, I would advise that you look at it very well. In my place. A child that we do sham sham, it is from now that you'll be doing sham sham. A child that will do well in the future, it is from now. The playboys then are playmen now. So if the guy doesn't care about you, he doesn't really care, he doesn't call, he doesn't find out how you are doing, he doesn't find out how you are doing, he doesn't tell you I love you, there's a problem somewhere. Because women are never tired of hearing I love you. She said it like 1 million times. In fact, you are just starting. You must learn to care. Care. You must learn to care. Number three that a woman needs is patience. Bible calls women weaker vessels. So the women, sometimes the way they behave, sometimes it can annoy you or infuriate you. Should be permanently open, not closing and opening. So it's very important. Just concentrate and look at me right here. It's important that we realize that a woman needs patience from a man. Be patient with your wife. She's not yet perfect. She's working towards perfection. It's not everything that your wife talks about that you respond with anger. It's not everything that your wife says that you flare up. You have to be patient. You have to exercise caution. A man doesn't talk anyhow. So as a man, don't just be talking anyhow to your wife. Your wife is not a trash. Be patient with her. A lot of times I've noticed in my little life over the years, sometimes when a woman speaks, what if you are not patient, you will not really understand what she's saying. You will think that she's trying to go against you or she's trying to... No. When you think deeply, in Yoruba, they call it arojinle. You have to think deep. Most men don't think deeply, so they just act. What do you mean? You see me, you're talking to me like that. In your life, you don't need to do that. Exercise patience to know what is she really trying to say. What are the pros and cons of what she's trying to say? What are the advantages of what she's trying to communicate? That's why communication is very, very important in marriage. If you are not a patient person, you can't enjoy the blessings of a good marriage. Because your wife is not perfect, and sometimes she might goof. She might do some things that are not on point. And if you are not patient, you will overreact. Once you overreact, eventually you might regret it. So let's try as much as well. I heard the story of a guy that shared a testimony that he and his wife had a small misunderstanding. It's not a small misunderstanding. She said something and he spoke back, and then he was just very angry with her and all that, and just left her and went to sleep in the sitting room and left her in the room. And the wife cried and cried and cried. And in the night, the wife passed out. But thank God for God's grace. That same night, God used his servant. As she was, her body was, he left the place and was going around, went to the room, saw the children, saw everybody, and was walking out of the house when God used the servant to say, no, you can't go. Yeah, go back. Go back inside. Sometimes when you are not patient, you will overreact. And once you overreact, a woman's emotion is so fragile. Just like egg. Hello. So once you just break it, you can shatter her like that. So exercise patience. Number four, what does a woman need? She needs protection. A woman needs to be put. No matter how big a woman need is, she still needs your protection. Protect her from external family members. Protect her from friends. Protect her from wrong influence. Adam did a mistake. He didn't protect his wife very well. That's why the wife could have wrong people to tell her the wrong thing. As a husband, you must know how to protect your wife. Do you know, as big as a president is, if the security people tells him, don't go out today, there's something outside I want to keep, he won't go out. No matter how big your wife is, you must know how to tell her, no, this was not right. This is the way to go. This is how, no, you don't do like, if you talk like this, it's wrong. Protect her. Because sometimes God places men, most of the time, places you at a higher spiritual capacity. That's why if you're a man and your spiritual level is lower than your wife, you need to come for these 2 hours of empowerment prayer. You need special prayer. Your spiritual level should be higher than your wife. Many years ago, maybe about 8-9 years ago, my wife came to me one day in my prayer room and said, please, carry me along. As you are moving spiritually, I want to be moving like that. I want to be moving with you like that. And today, by God's grace, anywhere I preach, oh, I'm supposed to go and preach. If I don't go there, if I send my wife there, she will preach very well. Any ministration I'm supposed to do, and I'm not able to do it, or I'm not available, if she's there, she's perfect, like I would have done it. So a man, carry your wife along. Protect her. Help her. So that she can also get there. Your family will get there. I say your family will get there. I say your family will get there. And of course, sincerity. A woman wants sincerity. Men, be sincere. Be sincere. Be sincere. Be a sincere man. Anything you want outside, tell your wife, she'll give it to you. Better self. Be a sincere man. Be sincere that your wife can tell her friends that I know this man is a sincere man. Don't be a man that is double-minded. Don't be a crooked man picking calls in the toilet, all these jaga-jaga sure things. Hiding things. Buying properties and your wife doesn't know all those jaga-jaga things. There's no bad woman. You just need to be able to train your wife and love her. She will overlove yourself. Don't say that a woman is so bad that she will kill you if she knows that you are this and that. I don't believe that. So be sincere to your wife. Be sincere. Don't tell her you are going to this place and you go somewhere else. Let sincerity work in that direction. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is up. I'll just take one responsibility of children and then I'll close because my time is already up. One responsibility of children that I'll take this morning is to obey their parents. Every family that the children will be great must be obedient children. Stop challenging their advice. If they have advised you on something and you don't want to go in that direction, try to educate them. Try to pray about, let God himself speak to them. Don't fight your parents at 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, you'll not talk to them. It's not good. If you really want to have the best of the best of family life, be a good child that obeys their instruction, obeys, and it has many blessings, including long life and prosperity. My prayer is that every single family here will enjoy the best that God has in Jesus' name. In conclusion, this is a fruitfulness banquet. And I want you to realize that God's intention is that your family is fruitful. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Genesis 1 verse 28. God blessed the family and said, God blessed them and God said, be fruitful. God blessed them. Them is talking about the family. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. And he said to them, be fruitful. Today, I decree that your family is fruitful. I say today, I decree that your family is fruitful. Fruitfulness is all encompassing. It has many things involved. Children is there. Progress is there. Good houses is there. Landed property is there. Advancement is there. Every single thing that fruitfulness entails shall be seeable in your life this minute in the name of Jesus. It shall be seeable in your life this minute in the name of Jesus. And as we pray extensively this morning, I want you to picture your family the way you want it to be. I want you to see your family the way you desire that family to look like. The same way you want it to. I want you to. That will make you very desperate. And of course, you came here in faith because most of the testimonies you heard, you can see they are acts of faith. If you don't have faith, you just be attending a church and then you just be hearing testimonies, but it doesn't happen in your life. It is to you according to your faith. And can I shock you? It is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. You can't please God. You can't get God's heart without faith. And this morning, I see your faith working for you in the name of Jesus. Everything you are trusting God for your family. Everything you are believing God for your family. From today and as we go on in this fast, I see every single one turning to you as a testimony. Amen. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen? It is turning to you as a testimony. Amen. It is turning to you as a testimony. Amen. That challenge is turning around as a testimony. That problem is turning around as a testimony. That thing that is a problem in the life of your brother, your sister, is turning around as a testimony. If you believe it, shout, I believe it. If you receive it, shout, I receive it. I must not close this service this morning. You want the best in your family. You want God to do something in your life. One thing is very crucial. It's called salvation. Until you are saved, your family is not safe. Until you are saved, your home is not safe. You are here this morning and you are telling me, Pastor, I want this intervention in my family. I want the blessing of God in my family. I want to pray with you this morning. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning. Quickly, wherever you are, stand up and I'll be praying with you. Just stand up wherever you are. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Not that you are a bad person, but you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Today is the last day in June. You don't want to enter July without being born again. You don't want to enter July and start the new month in the same condition. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. I'll be counting from 1 to 5. Be up by the time I'm on number 5 and I'll be praying with you. 1. You want to surrender to God afresh. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate. That is, you have given your life to Christ in the past, but something went wrong here and there. You want this morning, last day of the month. What a privilege you have. You don't want to enter the new month shabbily. You want to do something. You want to take a decision that will affect your entire life. God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. God bless you. Don't be the last person. Don't be the last person. Also, you are watching us on the internet. Let us know on that email and on that phone number that you are taking this all-important decision. God bless you. God bless you. Also, you are here. You want to break an habit. You want to break an addiction. You want to put an end to something that you know God doesn't like this in my life. You want a change of life. You want a change of destiny. You want a change of status. I want to pray with you. God bless you. Be on your feet this morning. You want to break an habit. God bless you. Two, you want to break an habit this morning. You don't want to be the same again. God bless you. God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. Be on your feet quickly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be the last person. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Where you are seated, Christ is telling you. He's telling you. He's speaking to your mind and speaking to your heart. I want to pray with you. Just wherever you are, just stand up wherever you are. No need to come forward. Just stand up wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand up there. God bless you. I can see you. God bless 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 you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Also, wherever you are seated right now, something is telling you, rededicate your life today. Don't go to July like this. Don't enter July without changing your life. Don't enter July without handing over your life to Christ. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't kill your conscience. Don't tell your conscience, keep quiet. That thing speaking to you is God. That thing speaking to you, that voice is the voice of God. Don't kill the voice of God. Don't kill the voice of God. He's talking to you right now. My daughter, my son, come to me. 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 Right now, he's calling you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Three, we're in a hurry to go into further prayers. You want to join these wonderful men and women already standing? Please, don't waste time this morning. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. One more count and I will pray. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. God wants to give you rest. God wants to give your family rest. I want to pray with you this morning. Beloved, be on your feet. Join these wonderful men and women already standing. Why are you seated when you should be standing? If you want to be outstanding, then you have to stand. You want to have to stand. You have to stand. You have to stand. You have to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Five. Now, wherever you are standing, put your right hand on your chest, beloved. And those who are watching us on the screen, from anywhere you are watching from, also do the same. And say after me, Lord Jesus, please forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all forms of unrighteousness. Afresh this morning, I declare Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Blessed be thy name. I am born again. In Jesus' name. Keep standing. Keep those hands on your chest as I pray for you. Father, thank you for these wonderful men and women that you have brought to yourself again this morning. Father, bless them. Let it be well with them. Let them continue to stand with you. Let your blessings continue to radiate upon their life. Bless them beyond their understanding. They will never go back again. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. Please follow the counselors beside you. Don't sit down. Just follow them. Pick your phones or your valuables and follow them. Follow them. Take your bag and just follow them. You'll be back very soon. Can we be on our feet and give him praise and take that song? Your hands, everybody. Just thank God for the word he sent to you today. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Give him adoration. Thank him. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Is somebody ready to pray this morning? Is somebody ready to pray this morning? You will say, Father. You will say, Father. You will say, Father, intervene in the affairs of my family. Lift your voice and pray. Intervene in the affairs of my family. Intervene in the affairs of my family. Intervene in the affairs of my family, Jesus. Intervene, 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 intervene in the affairs of my family.
Ask me not, O gentle sea, in your hear my hope, O cry. Why on earth thou art Lord?
Do not pass my family by.
Do not pass me by.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Savior, Savior.
Name we are praying. You will say, Father, remove every stumbling block to the testimony of my family. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Remove the stumbling block. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. Remove that stumbling block before our testimony. Remove that stumbling block. Remove that stumbling block. Anything standing as a hindrance to our testimony, Father, remove it. Remove that stumbling block. Remove that hindrance. Remove that limitation. Remove that stumbling block, Jesus. Stumbling block in our business. Stumbling block in our marriage. Stumbling block in our education. Father, remove it. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Those at the back, I want you to increase the intensity of your prayers. I want us to increase the intensity of your prayers. Let your prayer be more intense. And focus on the specific area that you are trusting God for him to help you, for him to assist you, and for him to make a way for you. You will say, Father, your right hand up, everybody. You will say, Father, Father, give my family a last minute miracle, a last minute testimony as we end the half of the year. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, 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 pray. Give my family a last minute miracle. Father, give my family a last minute miracle. Give my father, give my mother, give my children a last minute miracle. A last minute breakthrough. A last minute success. A last minute advancement. Give my family a last minute testimony. What we could not do in January, February, March, April, May, June is about to end. Father, do it for us. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You are going to pray and say, Father, remove every siege of delay. When we talk about delay, there are many areas of delay. Fruitfulness is, or childbearing is a form of delay. Financial delay is there. Marital delay is there. And many other forms of delay. Delay in completion of projects. Building house for 10, 15 years. And many other forms of delay. We want to break that siege now. You will say, Father, break the siege of delay. Delayed progress. Delayed testimony in my family. Lift your voice and pray. Break the siege. Break the power of delay in my family. Remove it completely. Let every delay in the life of my children be removed. Let every delay in my marriage be removed. Let every delay in our marriage be removed. Let every delay in the life of my sister, my brother be removed. Pray with fire. Pray with intensity. Pray with vitality. Pray with vigor. Pray with intensity. Pray with vitality. Pray with intensity. Pray, 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 pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. I'll give you a minute to speak to God on specific areas you desire our Father's intervention. Go ahead and speak to Him right now. More seconds, pray to God on specific areas of intervention you desire in your family, in your life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. As you have said it this morning, I decree in the name of Jesus, it is done like that for you in the name of Jesus. It is done for your family as you have requested in the name of Jesus. As we step into the month of July, I decree that your family will testify in the name of Jesus. As we prepare to step into the second half of this year, your family will experience God like never before in the name of Jesus. What was not working before we begin to walk now? What was difficult before we begin to walk now? What was challenging before we turn into a testimony? For every family here today, I decree strange favor. I decree strange favor. I decree strange favor. I decree strange testimony. Your long-awaited testimony is coming in the name of Jesus. Your long-awaited breakthrough is coming in the name of Jesus. Your long-awaited progress is coming in the name of Jesus. Everyone here, or those who are watching us on the internet or anywhere in the world who are trusting God for miracle children, in the name of Jesus, you receive it in the name of Jesus. Anyone you are standing the gap for, your brother, your sister, yourself, or anyone that is in your heart presently now, and you are trusting God for a miracle in their marriage concerning fruitfulness, Father, release it to them in the name of Jesus. You will share the testimony. I say you will share the testimony. All those who are pregnant, I decree safe delivery and problem-free delivery in the name of Jesus. Everyone pregnant here, and those who are watching us, and those who are here, who your brother, your sisters, your relatives are presently pregnant, I decree they will have smooth delivery in the name of Jesus. They will have problem-free delivery in the name of Jesus. It is done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Give Jesus a big clap offering.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-788-78 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.